Good morning. Thanks for coming today, and thanks for worshiping with us today. Thank you for that message, Jerry, and thank you for the music. You sang my favorite song, How Great Thou Art. Anyone else? That's my favorite song. Happy May to you. This is May 1st, and let's pray it will not rain. Because it sprinkled on Easter. You're supposed to have rain 7 Sundays after that, right? So does sprinkling count as rain? But anyway, it's going to be a beautiful day today, and we're looking forward to it. A couple weeks ago, I asked you to come up with your favorite stories out of the Bible, and you were supposed to write them on a piece of paper and give them to me. So far, you have failed to do that. Your favorite story might be out of the Old Testament or the New Testament. But sometime during the sermon, it's okay, as long as you don't sleep. You can write that favorite story on a piece of paper and hand it to me as you walk out today. And I'll do my best to preach on it. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the most famous stories in all the Bible. The story of David and Goliath. Now, I would like to say how many of you heard the story, but let me put it this way. How many of you have not heard the story of David and Goliath? All right, you people listening online, maybe you've not heard the story of David and Goliath, but it is the most famous story in all the Bible, and we're going to talk about it today. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a lot today. I don't usually do that. I'm going to today. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and while you're turning there, let me tell you about the man who went to the doctor. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "What can I do for you?" And he says, "Doc, I have a problem." He said, "I hurt all over." He said, What do you mean you hurt all over?" He said, "I hurt all over from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet." And he said, "Well, just show me. Point to your forehead." And he pointed to his forehead, and he said, "Ouch, that hurt." He said, "Point to your neck." And he pointed to his neck, and he said, "Man, Doc, that hurt." He said, "Okay, point to your stomach." He pointed to his stomach and says, "Man, that hurt too." He said, "Well, surely your legs don't hurt." He pointed to his legs and said, "Oh, man, them hurt too." He said, "You idiot, you got a dislocated finger." Well, sometimes one thing that can be wrong with us can hurt the rest of us. Can I get an amen? Sometimes there is this one thing, maybe this one person, or this one event, or this one circumstance that happens to you in life that becomes your giant. It can be a heartache, somebody that you've lost, causes you to lose sleep. It can be something that keeps you from doing your everyday tasks. It can be a person that is a thorn in your side that keeps you from becoming the person that God wants you to be. It can be a situation. It can be a sickness. It can be whatever that person or that thing can become your giant. When we come to 1 Samuel chapter 17, not only David, but the entire Israelite army run into one giant of a problem. Now we're going to figure out what David did about that problem as we read it together. It's long, I know, but I'm going to hurry. Beginning with 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Iphias Damien between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another within the valley between them." There was a valley between them. So it probably would have been 100 yards. One army on this side and one army on the other side, and a valley in the middle. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out to the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Right off the side of your Bibles, 9'6". He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, about 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin which was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. He couldn't even carry the shield. He had so much going on. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subject and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Underline that. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn, Eliab, the second, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, and 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and even took up his stand. In the evenings, took up his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with his shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the armies was going out into the battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what had been saying. "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with men, he burned with anger at him, and he asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When the lion or the bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it, the sheep from its mouth. Then it turned on me, and I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David did what? David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. And he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. And he killed him and he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. I'll stop right there. Now write this down in your notes somewhere. Goliath was 9 foot 6 inches tall. Some commentators say that he might have been 12 foot tall. We don't know, but he was at least 9 foot tall, because the Bible says that every NBA coach's dream. Could you imagine a 9 foot six guy coming out on the court? Shaquille O'Neal. Anybody know how tall he is? 7 foot 1, Shaquille O'Neal. Yao Ming was 7'6", maybe. This guy, 2 feet. 2 feet taller than Shaquille O'Neal. He would have made Shaquille O'Neal look like a little bitty kid. Wow. I'm guessing this guy probably weighed over 600 pounds. How many of you have seen that show, My 600 Pound Life? I hate that show. Absolutely despise that show. And Ching wants to watch it. I said, "Well, you want to watch some 600 pound overweight person continue to snack on chips and go to fast food joints all the time?" I mean, they go to the doctor and he says, "You lost any weight?" "No, I gained 5. And he'll say, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "Well, you're eating Doritos chips and you're going through drive-thrus all the time. Stop doing that." And they'd lose money on me. But this guy was huge. 600 pounds of muscle, 9 foot 6 inches tall. His armor would weigh over 125 pounds. He was big. But I want you to repeat after me: the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so it was with Goliath. He had created fear throughout the entire land of Israel. And this one scrubby, small, handsome boy, 17 years old, by the name of David, was not impressed with the 9'6" Goliath. Let me ask you something this morning. I want you to think about it. Have you ever had a Goliath in your life? Have you ever had a problem so big that scared you, it intimidated you, and you didn't know what to do about it? And for years you just ignored it, you didn't do anything about it, but the Goliath was still there, and he still came forward, he was still in your face. And I'm not just talking about a person, I'm talking about it can be an event, it can be a diagnosis that you've been given, it can be a job, a person at work that you can't stand. You're having anybody you couldn't stand at work, just be honest with me, go ahead and raise your hand. You don't have to raise it so high up there, Bill. But anyway, Bill knows what we're talking about. That can be a Goliath in your life. What do you do with a Goliath in your life? Because a lot of times, if you're like me, I just kind of ignore them sometimes. And hopefully they go away. But this Goliath, he didn't go away. Matter of fact, he kept pressing forward. He kept pressing forward. I want you to know today, no matter what Goliath you have in your life, God is bigger. God is bigger. And he can take care of any situation that you're dealing with today, because our God is an awesome God. I believe there are several lessons we can learn from the story. I've condensed them down to 4. I could probably come up with 20 or 30. But I want you to write them down in your bulletin, if you will. If you don't have a bulletin, write them down on a piece of paper and remember them. First of all, when God is on your side, courage always combats fear. When Saul became Israel's first king, The Bible says he was head and shoulders taller than anyone else. So the average Israelite, I'm guessing, I probably need to go out there and measure him. I'm guessing the average Israelite is about 5'6". So let's think of Saul as 6'6", which would be pretty good NBA player, right? Michael Jordan was 6'6", if I remember right. But get this. Goliath was 2 feet taller than him. 3 feet taller than this little boy. Huge. Can you imagine coming up on such a man? David was not scared. I won't be honest with you, I would be scared. How many of you would be going the other way? I would be going the other way. When the Wabash Valley College Warriors had a real good team back in the 90s, Kenny Norman, anybody heard of Kenny Norman? Kenny Norman was one of their players. Well, he was in McDonald's one day, and I walked into McDonald's. Of course, I'm only in high school, and I walk into McDonald's, and he's standing there at the counter, and I'm looking at his belly button. And this is a true story. I said, let's get out of here. I didn't even order for McDonald's because I was so intimidated by Kenny Norman. He was so big and tall, 6'9", went on to play for the Hawks, I think, if I remember right. But he was huge. And I'm not saying that I was scared of him. I wouldn't want to go up against him anytime in basketball or in a fight. But I just walked out. I was so intimidated by his height. You ever been around somebody like that? These Israelites were scared, rightfully so. Saul was scared. Everybody was scared except one person. Who was that one person? David wasn't scared. Verse 11 says, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and they were terrified. But David wasn't scared. As a matter of fact, he was so not scared that he was interested in what do I get if I kill this Philistine? You get money, you get the king's daughter, and I've heard from commentators that she was good looking. Obviously not as good looking as Bathsheba, but we won't get into that. And also, their families would be exempt from taxes. I'm thinking, 9'6", no taxes, all the money you need, and this beautiful girl. I'm not sure. It would have helped, wouldn't it? Verse 25 says, the king, King Saul, will give great wealth to the man who kills Goliath and give his daughter in marriage, and his whole family will be exempt from paying taxes in Israel. Sounds pretty tempting to me. But no, not one Israelite fighting man was willing to take up that, including Saul. You need to remember something about Saul. Saul, God had pretty much ignored him. Remember that? Because Saul was arrogant and he did things the way he wanted to do them. And God said, that's not the way you do them. And the priests would get on to him for, you can't do this, Saul. But he did him anyway. He was arrogant. And God turned his back on Saul, and he was looking for David to become the next king of Israel, and he was. So there was a reason why Saul was not the one to go out, because he was a coward. Coward, and he didn't have God in his arsenal anymore, but David did. And David was not afraid, because he knew the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Psalm 11:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there are all kinds of fears. This is a healthy fear. This is a kind of fear that knows that God is in control, that God is in charge of the universe, that God is in charge of our lives. And it's a healthy fear. It's not a fear that you lose sleep over. That's not that kind of fear we're talking about. We're talking about a fear that is an adoration of God. That's what he's talking about. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold in my life. And Proverbs 28:14 says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. David had a healthy fear of the Lord. And I want you to know, if you want to remove the Goliath from your life, you've got to have a healthy fear for God, because fear is combated by courage every single time. And no matter what Goliath you're facing right now, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, just like God told Joshua, because God goes before you. Amen? Stop being afraid and learn to trust God. Lesson number two, always remember nothing is impossible with God. David said to Saul in 1 Samuel 17:32, Let no one lose heart on the account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. I want to start singing that song, Only a Boy Named David. Only a boy, but I forgot the words, so I didn't sing it. But David said to Saul, your servant has kept watch over his father's sheep. When the lion, the bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after, I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair. I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one like him because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. I want you to notice something from this chapter. Not one person encouraged David to go. You notice that? Not one person. Saul's not encouraging here. This is actually a cop-out. He's basically saying, go, you have more courage than I have. I'm a wimp compared to you. And he wasn't willing to go out and face Goliath, but David was. But not one person encouraged David to go except God. Friends, I want you to know there will be times in your life when you feel alone. Have you ever felt alone before? You can be sitting in a large group of people and you can still feel alone. There can be 100,000 people in the room and you can still feel alone. You ever been there before? Something's going on in your life and no matter what somebody says to you, you're still fighting the Goliath in your life. It won't go away. It won't disappear. It just keeps coming in your face and it bugs you and it bugs you and it bugs you. And not only was David not afraid of this Philistine, he realized that Goliath was not one of God's own people. He was an uncircumcised Philistine. And I want you to know, when you're uncircumcised, that means you miss an appointment at the doctor. And David knew it. And he knew he wasn't in the armies of the Lord. And if you're not for God, then you're against God. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid because of them. For the Lord goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Philippians 4:13, probably a lot of your favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And no matter what Goliath or giant of a problem you're facing this morning, I want you to know today that nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible with God. God can do whatever He wants to do. Everybody say it. God can do whatever God wants to do. And God can defeat the giants in your life if you just have faith in Him. Lesson number 3. Once you've identified your Goliath, move forward in faith. 1 Samuel 17:48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran. He ran quickly to the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and Goliath fell flat, face down on the ground. Now I want you to see a couple things here. Write them down if you want to. First of all, why did David take 5 stones? Here's a very good commentary. I have no idea. What? All right. Thanks for stealing my thunder. He took 5 stones because he was being prepared. It only took 1 stone. Here's what I was thinking. There might be 4 other Goliaths coming his way after he killed this one. So that goes along with being prepared. But I think it's important when we come before God to always be prepared. Do you ever pray out of habit? You come to God and you pray. And you pray the same prayer. I have some good friends back home, and they'd say, I'd come over to their house and they'd say the same prayer before the meal every time. I'm not going to repeat it because they might be listening today. But I always thought, well, that's odd. Is there anything else you know besides this one prayer? And you know, I think that's okay. The main thing is pray, right? But also, we need to be prepared. Number 2 here. Notice, David didn't just come closer to Goliath. The Bible says he ran. And while David's running towards his problem, his Goliath, oftentimes Carson is running the other direction. Anyone else? Can you relate? You don't want to face it. You don't want to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. You just let it go. You ignore it. You let it slide by and you hope the problem will go away. And years later, maybe even decades later, the problem is still there. A few years ago, I was having a real problem with one of the leaders at one of the churches I was serving. And he continued to divide the church over and over with the things he said, the things he'd done behind the scenes. He was doing things behind everybody's back just because he thought he could. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go talk to him. And sounds easy, huh? I went to his house. Well, I went by his house. And I drove around the block 3 times. And I told myself, I'm not going to drive around the block again. And I pulled in his drive and I went in there and I talked to him. And I told him, you need to stop dividing this church. Did he like what I had to say? No. Do I regret what I said? No. Friends, I want you to know, if there is a giant in your life, then you need to confront it. You need to be up front with it, and you need to identify who the giant is, and you need to move forward, run forward towards the giant in faith, and you need to defeat your giants. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And there's key words there, earnestly seek Him. It's not enough just to pray. You got to pray earnestly seeking the Lord. If you got a problem in your life, whether it be physical, mental, psychological, or whatever, you need to pray earnestly to God that He will take it over for you. And I truly believe that He will. Do you? And you may not be able to defeat the Goliath of your life by yourself, but I want you to know God's pretty powerful. And while Goliath came towards David with a spear and a sword, I want you to know we come with the word of the Lord in the name of Him, and He will defeat our Goliath. The fourth and final lesson we learn from this story is when battling the Goliath of your life, always remember to give God the glory. I have a minister friend, and I don't know how many times that he said this, but I just heard it not too long ago. He said, I've saved over 300 people. And you don't know how bad I wanted to get up and say, you didn't save anybody. You might have been there to be a minister of God's word, but God saved 300 people, not you. Amen. Friends, I want you to know, I am the messenger, but God is the Almighty. And I preach and I come down and I sit down, but God, His word continues forever. And His strength endures forever. 1 Samuel 17 verse 36 says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one like him, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now pay attention. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion, and the Lord who defended me and delivered me from the paw of the bear, will also deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Now look what David said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Friends, I want you to know today, in the midst of everything going on in America, I want you to know that there is a God in Lawrenceville, Illinois. There is a God in Illinois. It may not seem like it if you go too far north, but there is a God in Illinois. There is a God in America. There is a God in this world who is still in charge, and no matter what Goliath is in your life, God gets the last word. He gets the victory. And we might be messengers and we might be preachers of God's word, but it is God who gets the glory. God who gets the allegiance in everything that we do. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And you may be thinking this morning that you're smart and strong and courageous and everything in life has worked out just perfectly the way things. Well, you're lucky. Because I have found, I can't get an amen on this, I have found that life is not always easy. Amen. I have found sometimes you got to go through some dirt to get to the clean slate. I've also found this to be true. When you try to do things on your own, you're going to get in trouble. I've tried before. I'm thinking I've been to Bible college. I've got my master's degree, and I just want to say, big deal, who cares? Because a lot of times it's not what's in here, it's what's in here. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Friends, I want you to know that God is on our side. And when God is on our side, no matter what you're going through in life right now, you win. You win. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, everything, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." When the church grows, we don't get the credit. When people come down the aisle and give their life to Christ, we don't give the credit. When someone goes into the mission fields and preaches the gospel, we don't get the credit. God does. God always gets the credit. Every one of you here today either has faced the Goliath or you will. I don't mean to put a curse on you, and I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you there's going to be a Goliath in your life. It's going to be a giant. That giant's going to be so big, and you're going to be scared, you're going to be intimidated, and you're not going to know what to do. I'm going to tell you, turn it over to God. Give it to Him. You can either hightail and run, which sometimes we do, and you can continue to let the problem destroy you, your family, and maybe even your church, or you can run towards the problem, run towards the Goliath, and you can face it face to face with God, and He'll defeat it. As we come to our time of invitation, maybe you're here this morning and you're facing a Goliath right now. It's big. And at times you're so overwhelmed with your Goliath, you don't know what to do. Sometimes you're tempted to run. Sometimes you're tempted to throw in the towel and just give up. I want to encourage you today, face your Goliath head on. Let God help you defeat him. And when he does, you give God the praise and the honor. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you just need the elders and I to pray over you. We'd be glad to have you come up here. We'll pray for your giant. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to make a decision for Christ. You've been wanting to become a Christian, but you've been putting it off. And that's the devil telling you, you don't need to do that. I want you to know you do need to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to be a member of this church. You want to place your membership here. Raise your hand. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. Whatever your giant is today, I don't know. But God knows. And I'll tell you what, He has the power to defeat the Goliath of our life. Let's pray. Father God, I've ran into Goliaths before, maybe not 9'6". Lord, I've had Goliaths in my life that have tested me, that have tried me, tried to turn me away from the faith, and didn't work. Because I know who my Savior is. And Lord, to my dying day, Lord, help every one of us to be faithful, no matter what giant we're facing. Lord, help us to realize that you are more powerful than any problem, than any disease, than any heartache, than any financial strain, than any psychological threat. Lord, you're more powerful than all this because we know that if we keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, in the end we win. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.